sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we are recapping a Cubs unfortunate series loss to the Reds. Some encouraging games in there, though. That Saturday game was nice to see. Sunday was a slugfest between the Reds. The Cubs score 12 runs, push it into extras, continue to fight back after the Reds. Basically, the Cubs would tie this game up, and then the Reds would get on top, and the Cubs would tie it up or take a one-run lead, and the Reds would come back and take a one-run lead. It tied up at 12-12 finally after nine innings, after a three-run shot from Ian Happ. Unfortunately, former Cub, Nick Castellanos, should be a Chicago Cub, hits a walk-off winner. He had five hits on the day, two home runs as well. The Cubs dropped this series, winning just one of three. Now sit four games back in 500 and essentially tied with Pittsburgh for the last spot in this NL Central. So we're going to recap this weekend's games quickly, take away our three things we learned from the Cubs this past weekend in the first segment. In the second segment, we're talking about our Lockdown Cubs Player of the Week. It's Matt Duffy. He's had a great week to start the season so far. And then to finish up this Monday episode, we'll be previewing the series with the Dodgers, because of course it couldn't possibly get worse for the Cubs, right? They go up and face a team like the Dodgers. They're scuffling a little bit, 3-7 in their last 10 games, but are coming off a 16 run performance against the Brewers. Now they did drop 3 of 4, but 16 runs with Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer slated to be the pitchers on the mound for the Cubs against this Dodgers series. It's going to be a tough, tough series to rebound against the reigning World Series champions. But the Cubs will get their first real litmus test of the season against a Dodger team we know is going to be in the postseason picture. So that'll be a nice kind of gauge of where this Cubs team is, but I think we have a good idea of where they are at this point. So we're going to be talking about that here on today's episode of Locked On Cubs, which is brought to you today by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get yourself 15% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. So here in this first segment, what did we learn about the Cubs? I highlighted three things here. I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, if there's something I'm missing. Make sure you tweet at me, let me know. Send us an email at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. But if you're agreeing with me, think there's something more important that I'm missing here, please let me know. But the three things I'm hitting on in this segment are going to be the Cubs needing their starters to go deeper. We know that. We know that's a massive issue. Trevor Williams only able to go 2 2/3 on Sunday's start. Just did not have it. Gives up six runs off six hits, four walks, two strikeouts, and three home runs are really what does you in. That can't happen. It just can't. You can't leave the game in the third inning. Zach Davies only able to go four innings, four hits, two runs, one earned, the three walks, three strikeouts, gets himself into a little bit of trouble in a close game. You can't take any chances. Same can be said for Jake Arrieta. Obviously, 3 1/3, seven hits, seven earned runs, three home runs again. The home runs were piling up on the Cubs, and it was nice to see the bullpen come back and really kind of slam the door a little bit in these situations. On Friday's game, they only allowed one run. That was Justin Steele getting his second debut. They closed the door after Davies allowed two in that Saturday game, obviously pick up the win in that series. And then the bullpen did okay. I mean, when you have to absorb seven innings and truly nine, because of the extra innings, it's tough. Keegan Thompson makes his debut, and that was nice to see. Dylan Maples, another inning and a third of strong work, one strikeout. Alec Mills gets touched up a little bit. Justin Steele touched up a little bit. You know, that's going to happen. Alec Mills is a guy that's probably getting used a little bit more than I think the Cubs were expecting him to be. That being said, 5.68 ERA doesn't look great anyway. You slice it. Justin Steele has looked strong, but did give up three runs as well in that Sunday matchup. But Dan Winkler has looked good so far. An inning of work looked strong, two strikeouts. Andrew Chafin, inning of work, one strikeout. Craig Kimbrell, unfortunately, picks up the loss in this game despite not actually giving up an earned run. It's actually that run at the end of the game is charged to Wilson Contreras. For those who didn't see, that Sunday game ended in the bottom of the 10th after it looked like Wilson Contreras came into the game as a defensive replacement because Ian Happ was actually injured in center field on a collision with Nico Horner. Horner made a great play on a shallow ball in the deep short center. He came in and makes the catch but collides with Happ. Watching the replay again, it looked like initially people were worried about, you know, legs, knees, you know, the lower body, but it looked like Horner maybe just got Happ's face, or possibly as he was going across the top of him, he maybe dragged his finger across his nose or something like that, kind of whacked him a little bit. But Happ did leave on a cart. It did sound like his prognosis was okay, according to Bruce Levine. There was no true update, but according to Ross, but no doctor report yet. Ross and Happ in good spirits after taking a blow to the head. Sounds like he should hopefully be okay. And it looked like they were just more concerned. I mean, it looked like Happ was going to stick it out for a second, but when that happened and Ian Happ left, the Cubs only had Wilson Contreras on their bench. So Tony Walters, who was catching, moved into second base. Horner moved into left field, and they put Chris Bryant into center with Contreras catching. Contreras wasn't expected to be truly available. I think he was obviously healthy, but they wanted to give him another day of rest just because he'd been dealing with a few little nicks here and there. But ends up getting the start in. It looked like getting behind the plate here in the 10th, that it looked like Kimbrell and him got crossed up. I think he was expecting breaking ball, gets a fastball in the outside corner. It looked like it actually would have been a strike had Contreras been able to frame it. But because it banks off his glove, it allows the runner moved up to third. The runner that got added there to second at the top of the lineup for that new extra innings rule. And then Nick Castellanos just kind of guided a ball into center field with the Cubs going a five-man infield. Just was able to drop that in center field and walk the game off. So, just one of those games, unfortunately. But you look back, and the biggest thing is the pitchers, the starting pitching. They need to go 5-6 innings. They need to get to that fifth inning mark. You can't consistently ask your bullpen to absorb 6-7 innings on a consistent basis. And that's exactly what the Cubs pitchers have been asking these relievers to do. It's why the Cubs have had to jumble up their bullpen a little bit here and there on off days or days where they've got guys like Alzolay who has options they can send down and get another couple relievers, because they're taxing this bullpen through the first month. And if these starters can't consistently find a way to go 5-6 innings, the Cubs are going to have to find a way to address that. Hey, Locked On fans, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, for real updates on odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use the mobile app device to sign up today and receive 50% off on a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON. But you don't really have guys you can go to in the moment. So you have to stick it out with these guys for a moment. You know, guys like Trevor Williams, Zach Davies, Jake Arrieta, if he continues to struggle. Kyle Hendricks are not taken out of this rotation. But you know, you have to run with these guys for a moment here in hopes that they can kind of figure things out, right the ship, so to speak. You know, there's nothing you can really do right now to plug in and give yourself different options, because there isn't too many really, I guess, stretched out, ready guys to go that 5-6 innings. And that's what you really need. You don't need a guy to give you a 3 innings, a spot start here. And you don't need an opener. You need a guy that can eat innings. And that's what I think we thought we were getting in Trevor Williams. I think that's what we thought Jake Arrieta would be this year. He's obviously kind of exceeded those expectations initially to start the year. But the Cubs needed innings eaters. They knew they were going to need guys that could get them to the 5th, 6th inning, limit damage, not necessarily be world beaters, but not give up a ton of hard contact. And the Cubs have done that to some extent, but we've seen a lot more stinkers in terms of starts than I think we were expecting to from guys like Davies and Hendricks. I think we were all ready for Jake Arrieta to have a couple bad games, like that 7-inning Friday game. You know, that's going to happen. You know, there'll be days where Jake just gets teed up, and, you know, so be it. I didn't think his stuff was that bad, but he was leaving a lot of it over the plate. Give up 3 home runs, it's not gonna end well for you. So the Cubs have had too many games where they've just put themselves down in a hole. And what's been super frustrating is to see this offense storm back to try and make something happen. But that's really what it comes down to. The Cubs have to start getting deeper in these games, and it starts tonight with Kyle Hendricks on the mound. See if he can rebound against the Dodger team that he always seems to pitch well against. So Nico Hoerner has been a revelation in this lineup. I don't think there's any reason why you would not keep Nico Hoerner in this lineup going forward, and I don't think David Ross has any plans of doing so. He's been the offensive catalyst. He was the biggest reason they won on Saturday. He's having some of the best at-bats on the team right now. Obviously, Chris Bryant's having an MVP-caliber season at the moment right now, leads the league in home runs with 9 after hitting 2 on Sunday. But Nico Hoerner's been just as essential, I think, to this lineup in certain situations and capacities. He's just so good at making contact. And this Cubs team is so bad at making contact right now as a whole. Just to have a guy who's not only just pesky, but who can really, you know, who knows what to do, can you put the ball to all parts of the field, isn't a pole hitter, isn't a, you know, a singles base hit type of guy. He can get into a ball. He is great at pulling balls down the line. He's also good at getting into the gap. He's also just got good speed. He's a guy that, if he needed to, could probably put a ball down on the ground and beat it out if necessary, if the situation were presenting himself. He's just gives you so many different looks, I guess you could say, as a starter at the plate. It's hard not to consider him an everyday starter at this point, especially with the meh kind of offense we've seen from David Bodie so far. So I've been very encouraged from what I've seen from Nico Hoerner this year. He's currently got a 0.7 WAR on the team, tied with Craig Kimbrel for the second best, or he's actually just below Kimbrel. Actually, he's tied with Rizzo for the third best WAR on the team right now. You know, looking at Horner's numbers here, a 389 batting average, 500 on base percentage, a 556 slugging gets you a 1056 OPS, 7 RBI, 3 runs scored, 14 hits and just 14 plate appearances. That's really great. The biggest stat you're looking at too right now, strikeouts to walks, 8 walks to 7 strikeouts. That's huge. Nico Hoerner continues to keep that type of clip where he's not striking out or he's walking more than he's striking out. I don't think that's going to be something you can rely on, but that's huge. But you look at the rest of this offensive lineup, though. Nico Hoerner, 1056 OPS. Chris Bryant, an 1114 OPS. Wilson Contreras, 845 OPS. The next highest is Anthony Rizzo at 765. The next highest after that, Javier Baez, 781. The next after that, you're looking at splitting hairs between Jason Hayward, Ian Happ, and David Bodie with the best OPS. Matt Duffy at 726 OPS. Jake Mariznick, 877 OPS. Obviously limited roles in there. We've seen Matt Duffy get some more plate appearances, but he's right there with Mariznick, 54, 51 plate appearances. Eric Sogard's got 50 plate appearances. Nico Hoerner still just 44 plate appearances on the season. You know, this isn't good. But you could see immediately why Nico Hoerner is making a difference. He's showing patience at the plate, and he's taking advantage of the strikes that are in the zone. He's hitting those balls and putting them in play, and he's not missing those balls. And that's really where the Cubs are struggling. They need to adopt more of a Nico Hoerner approach, which is getting contact and making contact. But then you look at a guy like Jason Hayward, who's leading this team in exit velocity, but has an awful barrel rate. I think it was like something along the lines that, yeah, it's under 5%, 4.7%. So he's making contact, but not good contact. And he's hitting the ball hard, but not driving it. Sometimes he's hitting the ball right at people. We've seen Happ, Bodie, and Hayward struggle with that a little bit too. But, you know, when you've got a guy that's leading your team in exit velocity, hard hit rate, but not barreling the ball up, it's a confusing type of situation. He's also not walking nearly as much. It just tells me Jason Hayward's not seeing the ball well. And the few times that he has, he's squared up a pitch, but it's resulted in an out, or he's pulled the ball. He isn't necessarily doing damage on those pitches in the sense of, you know, getting actual hits. That's an issue. But if you're looking at one person, I think you have to say Nico Hoerner is right up there with Chris Bryant as being one of the most important people in this lineup right now. And it's going to be David Ross would be doing himself dirty if he wasn't trying to start this guy every day. And then my one final piece here, I learned Dylan Maples and Justin Steele can be pieces to this bullpen. We saw it on Friday. They came in and really kind of righted the ship, so to speak, after a rough start from Jake Arrieta. They combined, I think, for 5 innings and 9 strikeouts. That was really impressive to see. Maples pitched again on Sunday, didn't give up a run. Steele got roughed up a little bit that Sunday game. You know, these guys are young, or at least Steele is a little bit younger. Maples is actually almost 30, but Maples, he leads the bullpen in strikeouts. 21 strikeouts, I believe, to just 9 walks, I think he has on the season. Let me double check that real quick. But that, if that's correct, yeah, 21 strikeouts to 9 walks. That's really good. He's looking really downright nasty. He's only given up 4 hits, 2 earned runs on a home run, actually. Those 9 walks are really what you're looking at and saying, okay, wow, that's a different type of guy. If a guy can find control, and clearly the results are equating to 21 strikeouts, yeah, okay, that'll play. that'll definitely play. He's got a 14.9, almost 15 strikeout per 9 innings. That's great to see. Justin Steele, 10 strikeouts at just 1 walk. The 3 runs that he gave up on Sunday bumped his ERA up to 4.26, but that'll start to regulate as he gets more experience. He's a strong lefty, a guy, a converted starter, a guy that just never really figured it out as an actual starter, but he's only 25 years old, has good stuff, and we're seeing when he locates and when he's able to not walk guys, not leave pitches over the middle of the zone, he's been really effective. And that's nice to see. Have another lefty here with Rex Brothers and Andrew Chafin at the moment. Brothers looking a little better. He's got his ERA down to 3.48. We forget these guys only have 10, 11 innings of work here. You know, a home run can absolutely obliterate your ERA at this moment. So you don't necessarily want to look at those numbers. But Cubs had an issue with walks. That's starting to get better in this bullpen. And I think a lot of that has to do with the strikeouts that guys like Maples and Steele are producing right now. Excited to see more of what they can do. Still just 6 innings of work right now. We'll have to see what he can do here. But Maples, 12 and 2/3 innings of work. We're starting to get a little more of a feel of him. And he's not just coming in mop-up duties or blowouts. He's coming in key roles and moments to kind of, you know, it's make or break time. And Ross is putting him in those pressure spots. And he's somewhat done okay. He's not getting blown up. 1.42 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 9 walks. Dylan Maples could be an absolute piece at the back of this bullpen. Things can be figured out. And Justin Steele would be such a nice piece to have as a guy that comes from the left side. You could arguably maybe push him 2 innings if you needed to. He did so. That's great. I think him and Maples are 2 big pieces to this bullpen if they can continue to pitch the way they have been. But I think we can at least say at this point they're pieces you can rely on. High leverage moments, I'm not quite sure. Maples has the stuff for it. I'm not sure he has the composure for it. But Justin Steele, I think, is a guy you really could find a way to utilize in multiple ways, whether that's, you know, across a couple innings, whether that's using him in multiple games in a series. I think there's a lot of versatility there with Justin Steele. I'm excited to see what David Ross does with this bullpen. Quickly before we wrap up, in the first segment, as we mentioned, Ian Happ was hurt in that play in center field. I doubt he plays Monday. We will have to see on that, but I would be surprised if he does, especially getting carted off. I'm sure the Cubs will give him a day and see what he does when he comes back. Pedro Strop is currently taking a leave from the Cubs. He was in the Dominican Republic, according to a recent Snapchat post, or excuse me, Instagram post. Strop is a minor league rosters are supposedly supposed to report in 2 days. I don't expect Strop to report necessarily in those 2 days. It sounds like he's maybe taking a moment to himself, and I'm sure, you know, being the veteran and the player he is, he's probably earned a little bit of that. We'll have to see if he reports back, but something to keep an eye on. All right, here in this second segment, we're talking about Matt Duffy. He is the Lockdown Cubs Player of the Week. On the season, Duffy's got a .282 on-base percentage, a .282 batting average, a .340 on-base percentage, and a .378 slugging on the year. Hasn't hit a home run yet, but has been key in terms of hits, scoring runs. I did wanted to highlight over his last 10 games, Matt Duffy's batting .308 with a .438 on base percentage. He's not hitting the ball very hard. Only a .346 slugging equates to a .784 OPS. But he's only struck out 7 times. He's worked 6 walks, has got an RBI, 5 runs, 8 hits in that period, a double. He's just continuing to move that ball around, getting base hits, not necessarily trying to do too much with the pitch, and just becoming a decent on-base guy. And that's really what the Cubs need. You know, that's all they really need in front of a guy like Chris Bryant right now, or Wilson Contreras, who's been hitting well. Anthony Rizzo's had a couple. We've seen the power numbers come up at least a little bit. He hasn't shown up in bases loaded or runners in scoring position situations much, but we're seeing Rizzo still be able to hit a couple home runs each week, and that's good to see. But getting a guy like Duffy going, he's not, I wouldn't necessarily say this is Matt Duffy taking off. He's just been a really great player and a big part of the reason that when the Cubs have had big games or scored runs, it's been Matt Duffy kind of in the mix of things. you know, I mean, man, he's batting 308, 438 on base percentage. Those two numbers jump out at you, especially as a guy that is going from a bench player to having to play more regularly due to injuries to Jock Peterson, now Ian Happ, Javier Baez dealing with a little bit of blips here and there. You know, David Ross gave Chris Bryant a couple days off to start this past week. Duffy's finding his way into the lineup, but I think a lot of that has to do with the bat he's swinging. He's not hitting the ball with a ton of pop. He's not tearing the ball off the cover. He's never going to be that type of guy, but he's got good speed. He's solid on the bases. He can steal a couple bags. I think he's got two stolen bases in this time in these last 10 games. He's looked really good. For 32 plate appearances, this is above and beyond for what you're asking for a bench player like Duffy. Now you look at this and you say, is this sustainable? Yeah, it is actually. He's just getting a lot of base hits. He's seeing a lot of pitches. He's working counts. He's walking. Strikeouts are tough. You know, 7 strikeouts to 6 walks, though, you'll take that. You'll take that percentage. So, is this going to be who Matt Duffy is for the rest of the season? Probably not. If he starts to see more playing time, get more, you know, bats, teams start to game plan against a guy like Matt Duffy, he's not going to do much damage against you. He's just trying to put the ball in play. Those guys can, you know, be dealt with and whatnot with soft contact, getting them to the ground out, those type of things. So he'll have to keep making adjustments. But in terms of like what you've been needing from your Cubs team right now, like just having a guy that's getting hits is a plus, because you've got so many guys in this lineup that just aren't quite hitting and might be hitting the ball really hard and well, but just not translating to offense right now, or even hits for that matter. So getting Matt Duffy going the way he needs to was a big part of this offense this past week. The Cubs, unfortunately, you know, didn't win a ton of games this week, but Matt Duffy was a big reason why they were still in the middle of games or ended up winning games this past week. And, you know, you don't want to necessarily say, oh yeah, Matt Duffy, stud, you know, that's not happening. And that's not what I'm trying to say. But this past week, he was incredibly important to this offense. And I think just having a guy like Matt Duffy as your bench piece, a depth piece, you're starting to see why Duffy is still on this roster, even though he wasn't necessarily putting up impressive numbers in spring training, even though he hasn't been hitting with much oomph in his bat. We talk about it all the time. The Cubs don't need more power in their lineup. They've got plenty of power hitters. They need guys to get on in front of these power hitters, drive in, instead of being solo shots, make it a 2-run, 3-run shot. Really start to take advantage of your guys' power, getting guys in front of him. Matt Duffy can do that. He's going to find a way to stay in this lineup, even if he is still going to slug below 400. This is a usable player, and I think that's been really encouraging for the Cubs. So, Matt Duffy, you are our Locked On Player of the Week. Congratulations. What's going on, guys? Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs, here to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar, of course, one of the best tasting protein bars out there, but they've got 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisps, to go along with some of my favorites, which are the double chocolate, mint brownie. I like peanut butter. The raspberry chocolate one are great. I'm a big chocoholic. I love chocolate. That's what makes these bars so great. Each one is 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew. They don't have big, chalky, chunky pieces of like oat and whatnot. It's just a bar. It's soft, it tastes good, and it's great for the health conscious guy. I know myself, I feel bad when I go in the morning and grab a donut or go and get, you know, coffee cake from somewhere. I feel bad about eating it. I feel bad later on because I'm not getting much energy. It kind of just, you know, you get that 2-3 p.m. crash. Not with Built Bar. Take, for instance, the peanut butter bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugars, 5 grams of net carbs. That is a bar that tastes good and can be good for you. But right now, Built Bar has a special promo right now. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get yourself 15% off your next order when you go to BuiltBar.com. And right now, Built Bar is also including a free cooler with purchase. That is while supplies last. Make sure you head to BuiltBar.com as quickly as you can. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get yourself 15% off at BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bars you will ever have. All right, here in this third and final segment, we are previewing these Dodgers series. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer on the mound for the Dodgers in this series. To coming into the series, though, Dodgers 3-7 in their last 10 games. They have been one of the worst teams in the National League over those last 2 weeks. I think only the Tigers have lost more games than them. They dropped 3-4 against Milwaukee, did score 16 runs on Sunday, but haven't looked great. Offensively, they're missing guys like Cody Bellinger, they're not missing necessarily Gavin Lux, but he hasn't been hitting very well. Chris Taylor has been in this lineup on a consistent basis for the Dodgers because of no Cody Bellinger. When Bellinger was in the lineup, not doing much either. .211 batting average, just one home run on the season. You don't expect that. Obviously, he played just four games to start this season. But you're looking at the lineup here, though. Mookie Betts, .791 OPS, not bad, but not great. AJ Pollock, .765. Gavin Lux, .486. Max Muncy, .787. The offense has really been coming from Chris Taylor, Justin Turner, and Will Smith to some extent. But beyond that, it hasn't been very great. Matt Beatty, the utility hitter for the Dodgers, has had some good spurts here and there. .964 OPS in just 18 games, 36 plate appearances. Nothing to really write home about, but then when you come and look at the Dodger pitching, oh boy. The Dodgers only have one starter with an ERA above three. It's Walker Buehler, who's at 3.16 on the season. He has just 31 strikeouts to two walks on the season. He's given up four home runs on the year and 11 earned runs, but 31 strikeouts. Wow. That's a lot compared to just the two walks. That's incredible efficiency. Man. And not necessarily mowing guys down, but clearly you see here he's not missing his spots. And then when you look at the bullpen, Kenley Jansen's had some so-so outings to start the year. Walks have been an issue. He's got 9 on the season. Jimmy Nelson, the former Brewers in this bullpen too as well, but there isn't too many bad ERAs and some solid. I mean, you're looking at, like, there's been a couple guys like Garrett Clevenger. 3 innings of work, has allowed just one run, in ERA of 3. Mitch White, 4 1/3, no earned runs so far. Dennis Santana, 7 2/3, of 4.70 ERA. But the guys that have actually been pitching in this bullpen, guys like Victor Gonzalez, Scott Alexander, Jimmy Nelson, Blake Trenin, and then Kenley Jansen, all those guys have had pretty solid seasons in ERAs, you know, around. So we've got two guys sub 300, and then you've got Jimmy Nelson at 3.75 ERA. That'll play. So the Cubs have their work cut out for them in terms of pitching. It's going to be a tough matchup against this Dodger team that is going to figure itself off offensively. They might be coming into facing the Dodgers at the right time, not having to see Cody Bellinger, not seeing a Corey Seager hitting the ball relatively well. Justin Turner's really kind of the only bat that's been hot in this lineup, and they're not hitting with a ton of power. So maybe they're catching the Dodgers at the right time. That being said, the Cubs pitching doesn't look great and the Dodgers pitching does. The margin of error is going to be very slim, as it always is for the Cubs. But with a guy like Hendricks, you get concerned because it feels like he hasn't been able to get out of that first inning without getting at least roughed up a little bit. So that's something you worry about here. But going into today's start, like I said, it's Walker Buehler on the mound, a 3.16 ERA. He has yet to not go 6 innings at least. He's been able to go at least 6 innings in all his starts so far in 2021. In his last start against Cincinnati, did get roughed up a little bit. Gave up 5 runs on 6 1/3 innings of work, 7 hits, 1 walk, still 10 strikeouts, 96 pitches, gave up a home run. And the start before that against San Diego, 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts. Start before that, 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Has given up a home run in his last 3 starts, though. Just 1 home run, though. Buehler doesn't make mistakes, but he does make them more recently. And that 2 walks to 31 strikeouts, he's not necessarily mowing guys down, but the efficiency is there. And maybe he's getting too fine in moments. Hopefully the Cubs can take advantage of that home run and put some runners on beforehand, make that kind of a lopsided lead. Maybe that happens early on, but Buehler's not going to miss his spots, and he's not going to necessarily not throw to you. He's not going to walk you. You're going to get strikes. You're going to have to hit him. Buehler's pitches, he's pretty much a fastball, curveball guy that'll work a cutter in here and there. He does have a sinker and a slider. Doesn't use those nearly as much. It's mainly his fastball, which he throws about 53% of the time, curveball 19% of the time, and the cutter about 15% of the time. Slider 8%, sinker below 5%, or just below 6%, excuse me. So it's pretty much that fastball curveball. And that cutter will work in there here and there. But the fastball, pretty darn good. Buehler is a guy that can really crank it up velocity-wise. Misses a lot of bats, and all throughout that that strike zone. He can kind of really put the ball in a lot of different spots in the zone, and that's where this Cubs team is probably going to struggle a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see Walker Buehler coming away with maybe another 8-9 strikeouts against a Cub team that can be swing happy. The flip side of things, though, here is that Kyle Hendricks going on the mound against the Dodgers, he has historically always pitched well against the Dodgers. That being said, though, in his last start against them, which came back in 2019, actually, so it's been a couple seasons, he took the loss, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks and a strikeout, 2 home runs and just 84 pitches. Obviously, 2019, been a minute since the Cubs and Hendricks faced off with the Dodgers. But when you're looking at who sees Kyle Hendricks well, it's basically no one. Max Muncy in 7 games, a 1738 OPS. He's just had a couple hits against him. Justin Turner, 13 games and a 1371 OPS. The rest of these guys haven't seen Kyle Hendricks very much. AJ Pollock in 6 games, 834 OPS. Mookie Betts in 3 games, a 333 OPS. A lot of these guys haven't seen Hendricks. On the flip side, though, Chris Bryant, having one of the best seasons of his career so far, sees Walker Buehler relatively well through 6 games and 1167 OPS. Ian Happ in just 1 game, OPSing 3,000. Anthony Rizzo, 7 games, a 619 OPS. Not necessarily bad, but not necessarily great either. Contreras, 3 games, 666 OPS. I mean, cut and dry, what this series is truly a litmus test for the Chicago Cubs. This is where we look at the Cubs and against a team we know is going to be in the postseason hunt. We know this Dodger team, when playing well and fully healthy, is probably the best team in the National League and has been for the last couple of years. Maybe not head and shoulders like it has been the last few years. The Padres have closed the gap. Braves and Mets look pretty good this year. Once someone in the NL East decides to be above 500 club, that'll happen eventually. Same with the Phillies. You could say the same about the Cardinals and what have you. Giants have been playing really well. I don't suspect that to continue much longer. But you look at a team like the Dodgers, and they should be the best team in the National League and probably the best team in baseball. Pitching alone, I forgot David Price was on this team. David Price is on this team. He's hurt right now, but they have a lot of depth, a lot of pitching, a lot of proven commodity, especially when you get into the postseason. You're talking about guys that have had some of their best performances of their career and when it mattered most. So, this is a battle-tested, proven team that's got some young bats on the offensive side with some proven veterans like Justin Turner, Chris Taylor. Those guys are swinging hot bats right now. The across the lineup, though, not necessarily playing well. The Dodgers across the board have been one of the worst teams in baseball in just the last few weeks. You don't expect that trend to continue, and the Cubs seem like a team that most guys seem to tune up and hit right now. So that's really what's kind of scaring me. This feels like a bounce back game for the Dodgers, especially after scoring 16 runs against the Brewers the night before, whereas this Cubs team was hitting Cincinnati, but I think had more to do with their bullpen just being absolute hot garbage. Amir Garrett has looked terrible this year, despite striking out Anthony Rizzo and deciding to start a brawl with those guys. What a stupid situation, but good for Javi and those guys are sticking up for your boys. I like to see that, but in terms of this Dodgers series, I mean, this is really kind of going to tell you where this Cubs team is at. We're 4 games below 500 right now. You look at this team and you see a lot of positives. You see a lot of negatives. You see potential. After the month of baseball that they had, especially when you talk about how many times the Cubs scored 3 runs on 4 hits in these last few games is pretty insane. They should have been shut out in quite a few of these games and still found a way to be productive. That's why I'm not necessarily concerned about the offense. Now it's coming back a little bit. We'll see how well they do against the Dodger pitching that should be some of the best in baseball. But I'm concerned about the hitting. I'm not concerned about necessarily the hitting as I am with the pitching. This is a concern. If the pitchers can't go 5 innings, you're not going to have a bullpen. Doesn't matter how good everyone is. If they're tired, it's nothing you could do. I mean, the Cubs are getting to the point right now where they haven't been able to consistently use Craig Kimbrell, who's been lights out. He still isn't allowed an earned run this year. You have to look at this team and you have to get an idea of where you're at. And I think if the Dodgers come in and absolutely smoke you, that's where you start to look at this team. It's like, okay, can we pull this together? Is this a team that can compete truly? And if it is, what can we do to change things? But if you come out of that series and you're like, man, this team did not look good against one of the best teams in baseball, and it did not feel like we gained much momentum in terms of like positives to take away from the series, that's when I think you could start panicking about the Chicago Cubs team a little bit. Just because this is to be one of the best teams in baseball, you have to face the best pitchers every night. And that's what the postseason is going to be. You're going to see these three guys in a series. So might as well treat it as such. It felt like a playoff series against the Reds last or this past weekend, just because of how close things were. And obviously there's a lot of, maybe not bad blood, but rivalry kind of bubbling and frustrations being taken out against two teams that feel like they should be better than they are right now. I don't know if that necessarily happens in a series like this, but I think the Cubs have to treat it as such. You have to start looking at this team, and you're 5 games back in the NL Central. You're 4 games below 500. You're a team that should, on paper, be much better than the way you're playing right now. And you should be one of the better teams in the National League with the way things are going. If offensively things are going to continue to lean back to the way they have in these last few games, we've seen the runs start to produce here more than 3 runs a game. But the pitching is a concern. And I think if you're going to get absolutely smoked by a Dodger team that hasn't been able to score runs very often, no matter how good they are right now, they're struggling, and this is a time where you should be able to take advantage of that. But instead, it just feels like you're just hoping the Cubs can maybe win a game in all these series, because it just doesn't feel like they have anything to lean on besides Chris Bryant. And Chris Bryant can't hit home runs every other at bat. He sure as hell tried to on Sunday. But you can't rely on Chris Bryant and the Cubs offense to be able to come and dig you out of a 6-run hole after 2 innings. It can't happen. So this is, I think, the big test for the Cubs. I think this will give us an idea of what direction this team is going to be going into the rest of the season. If they scuffle against a Dodger team that's already scuffling, that might be a sign. If they get smoked by a Dodger team, you know, who knows? But at the same time, too, you know, they sweep this Dodger team. I think everyone looks at it and says, oh, well, they weren't 100%. I won't. I think there's still plenty of talent and a lot of proven commodities here that show you that this Dodger team taking any games from them is going to be huge. But I don't know. You hope for 2 or 3. I'll take 1. This is going to be a tough series, I think, for the Cubs, and one that might be a little bit frustrating and eye-opening for the wrong reasons. So be ready for that. But if I'm keeping an eye on anyone, it's Chris Bryant. He's going to have to carry this team. And if I'm looking at pitchers, I'm looking at Dylan Maples and Justin Steele again. I want to see how they do against some of the best hitters in baseball. I want to see if David Ross goes to those guys again. Obviously, I don't think that'll happen on Monday because they've been used a decent amount this past weekend. But Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll have to see what happens there. But those are guys I'm watching. I want to see how they do. But I'm looking for performances. I want to see how people do against some of the best competition in baseball. That's what I want to see. When the Cubs are up against the wall and have to face some of these best players, best pitchers, best hitters, whatever it may be, I want to see what the outcome is, because I think that's going to tell us more than any analytic, any stat, anything we see with our eyes. If the Cubs can beat a team as good as the Dodgers, I think there's hope that this team can find a way to right the ship and get things back on track. They get smoked by a Dodger team, though. You don't read into it too much, but you start to wonder how good this team can be in 2021. But that's what I have for you here today on today's episode of Locked On Cubs. We appreciate you guys sticking around throughout this episode here. We'll be having more episodes throughout the week, Monday through Friday. We'll be trying to drop them around 11 o'clock noon each day here. I'll do my best to try and keep that as consistent as possible throughout the week, but we appreciate you guys stick around. As always, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Make sure you are subscribed or following the podcast in whatever app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, Odyssey. Make sure you're following, leave a 5-star review, and make sure you're checking out our sister stations, especially Lockdown Bears, hosted by Lauren Cox. Chicago Bears have a quarterback. What in the world? Justin Fields looks really good. Lauren Cox breaks down that pick as well as breaking down the rest of the draft on today's episode. So make sure you're checking that out. Lockdown Bears, hosted by Lauren Cox, good friend of mine, and does a great job. Lauren knows way more about the Bears than anyone should, and will keep you totally in the loop on these draft picks, especially if you're looking at the 5th, 6th round picks. Like, who the hell is Thomas Graham? Lauren's going to tell you why he's important. So check that out. And man, go Bears. But with that, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubs.